Yo, it's a Saturday, I'm home, 6:30 chilling, surfing the internet to see what I'm feeling, laying on Blog Talk, see what they dealing, came across the barbershop, stepped into the building, real life sports talk, real entertainment, Mike Knox really keep his ear into the pavement, finger on the pulse of the industry, save it, you don't like the way brag, you ain't gotta say shh. Listen anyway, every Thursday, him and Corey G, tell him what you tripping on any day. Barbershop mixed with talk show, there we go. Give you the best damn show on the radio. $1 million audience meets with your favorite host. $1 million connections, feel the force. Most electric, most eclectic. Listen to the shows where the pros expected. 2 shows a week with an A-class guest list. The best damn show on the radio. Check this.
The best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show in radio.
Once again, the Sports Authority and other stuff. I'm one of your hosts, Corey G. Let me bring my man in here before we even get it going. Good, my man, P-Dawg, Paris. What's going on, brother? How you doing this evening?
Hey, man, I'm doing great. How about yourself?
All love. Everything's good here in the shot, man. Everything's good. Man, in the past week, we, you know, with the Sports Authority and other stuff, and the world is trying its best to give us an opportunity to discuss other stuff. You all right over there, brother?
Yeah, I'm great.
Mm-hmm. All right, cool. We've had, I mean, you know, I'm a smart enough man to know that you can't judge, you can't make a final assessment on anything based off the internet. But
right.
That said, in the past, we've had a gentleman shot and killed in Minnesota. We've had a gentleman shot and killed in Louisiana. And then we had the cops that got killed in Dallas, along with the suspect that got blown up. A lot of craziness going on, Paris. What are your thoughts about this past week?
It just shows that as far as we have come, that we still have issues that underlying, and every now and then they rear their ugly head, like in what we have seen in this past week. It's nothing that we aren't accustomed to. And what we have seen is police that, in my opinion, did not make correct judgment calls, especially in the case in Minnesota. That is something that should definitely never happen. That goes against policy. You do not shoot a person with a child in the vehicle. But what, you know, there's so many layers to this that it's almost like, you know, what we saw happen at first. And if you do the research of Ferguson, you understand the history of Ferguson, you know that the police force there was only 52 people, only 3% of three of them were minorities, and it was more warrants in Ferguson than there was in St. Louis, and the police were pretty much there to make money off the citizens. And the Mike Brown case was, you know, the straw breaking the camel's back, as they say. And that's what we've seen throughout history. And I think the part that is very troubling is that it's two issues. First of all, it's cops using bad judgment, bad discretion, but then it's typically doubled down by a criminal justice system that does not support the people. And that is where the frustration leads in, and that's when you have unfortunate incidents like what happened in Dallas. Because
right.
at some point in time, people will lash out, and they will act in a way to garner your attention. And I do not agree with what happened, but unless we fix the system and where we're headed, unfortunately, I think we might see more acts of violence, such as what we saw.
Yeah, and I think that one of the bigger issues for me is there's a lot of debate about Black Lives Matter. You know, you have the group of people that want to say all lives matter. Okay, well, that's well and good, but if all lives matter, why do you care more about a gorilla getting killed in a zoo than black men being killed on video? If all lives matter, you should be as outraged as us, or at least you should be outraged a little bit, maybe not as much as us because it hits home a little bit harder, but you should have some form of outrage. And I think another issue that is going over a lot of people's heads, and I mentioned this to you earlier, was that there are a lot of white people that are being killed by police as well. And so while I find it very odd that you have a lot of people on one side of the argument, and I'm just going to say it, a lot you have predominantly white folks that are against what Black Lives Matter stands for, and I'm not talking about any of the bad negative stuff, all the positive stuff, but I'm sure that one day when the videos start coming out of white people being killed by cops, then they'll be in an uproar, and then we'll be looking at them like, really? This is what we said was going on. And again, if you want to keep race out of it, then okay, then the other side of the argument is it's just the human element. Like, okay, so are you okay with people being gunned down needlessly or not? Let's keep race out of it for the sake of conversation, Paris. You had a young man that was in a seat belt. Now, I'm no fool. I'm not saying that he couldn't have been reaching for something. I don't know what the truth is. I wasn't there. We all know that the truth usually lies in the middle between between person A's story and person B's story. Somewhere in the middle is the truth. But then we have the other video where we have a cop on a guy's arm, another cop holding the other hand, and one of them says he's reaching for a gun. Well, y'all got both of his hands. So, you know, and if we're being honest, Paris, and I know a lot of people don't want to hear me say this, but if we're going to be honest, let's be honest. If a cop tells you, sit down, sit down. If a cop tells you, you know, keep your hands out your pockets, keep your hands out your pockets. We all have to do better. We all have to do better. We all, you know, hold some kind of responsibility. And I understand that everything I just said was kind of thrown off by these last two deaths, because in one case it didn't appear that the guy even knew what was going on, and in the other one the guy was seatbelted. But we have to be cognizant of everything that's going on. And I don't have any kids, Pierce, but if I did, I would, and I'll tell you what I told my nephews, put yourself in the best position to live. That's it. Put yourself in the best position to live. But at the same token, the cops need to do better. And not all. I'm no fool. Once again, Paris, I understand that all cops are not bad cops. But all black people ain't bad people. So don't judge, you know, something George Bush said today at the Dallas thing, and was really, which is really weird for me to say, I actually agree with it 100%, that you don't judge a group by their worst element, was basically what he said. You know, you don't want to judge all the cops by the worst cops, but I don't want you to judge all the black people by the worst, you know, black people you come across. There has to be a happy medium there. Now, Paris, from the standpoint of Black Lives Matter and the killing of the alleged bomber, and I say alleged because I find it awfully weird that we don't have any information on this guy. We haven't had any family members speak to the media. We haven't had any friends speak to the media. Nobody's come up with a Facebook profile picture, no Twitter, no Instagram, no nothing. Now, and that could be all a bunch of media, you know, the media playing games. Still, in fact, to this point, nobody has come out and said that they know this dude. What are your thoughts on that angle, Paris, as far as the bomber goes? And also, when you after that, what were your thoughts about the police using a bomb to allegedly blow up the alleged suspect?
First of all, let's take the second one first. As far as them using a bomb to blow up the alleged suspect, I would have done the same doggone thing. If
okay.
a person is sitting there taking pot shots at my officers, then I have to try to deal with the situation the best way possible. And if the best way possible is to kill him without putting any humans in harm's way, then that's the route that I'm
okay.
going to take.
Okay.
That's just not a discussion point, in my opinion. And as far as
okay.
the other one, as far as the Facebook stuff, I don't know, man. I'm telling you the truth. I really haven't put a lot of thought into that. Like I said, I enjoy a good conspiracy theory as much as the next guy. Hey, let me tell it. UFOs do exist. I believe there are things out of Roswell and Area 54. But sometimes I just like to sit back and just wait, because we live in a society now that as soon as something happens, you know, it gets to a point where sometimes it's just sort of like overwhelming. You know, where,
yeah.
you know, we'll
yeah.
see something and it's like, okay, did that just happen? And, hey, they said this happened. Well, how do we know it wasn't another guy? Who is this guy? How come he doesn't have a Facebook page? Why? I'll just sit back and I'll just wait and let the dust settles and then do some investigation of my own to try to make sure that everything's on the up and up. Because right now it's all over the place. Quite honestly, you know, you
yeah.
have people saying, hey,
everything right now is based on anger.
Shooting. So, yeah, it's
yeah,
anger.
Everything now is based
on
anger on both. Mm-hmm.
You know, so I try to stay out of that one, and we'll see what happens when the dust settles.
Okay, fair enough. I, you know, I'm not going to lie to you, man. I'm not versed in the tactical elements of policing or warfare, right? Never been in any of the armed forces or anything like that. If I'm being honest, there was a part of me that when they said they blew him up, I was like, man, that seems a little bit strong. And then when they came out and said it'd never been done, I was like, all right, that seems a little bit weird. At the same token, if I am the police chief and I've already got five officers down, and this guy has proven that he does not care about the life of others, then there is that angle where you say, you do what you have to do. Because if you don't and you're the police chief, how do you go into that sixth, you know, hot home and tell them, you know, we had other options, but
exactly.
we chose
and,
not
and
to
I think
because the media was watching.
And honestly, I think it says something that we've gotten to a point to whereas we have a person that's armed. He's killing officers. We devise a way to kill this individual where nobody's at harm using a $151,000 robot, which is that's what they're, you know. I listened to the police chief break down, hey, this is what they came up with and this is what they go with, and we sort of question that. So we're to the point to where we question everything. You know, if he would have got
everything.
Shot in the head, we had to say, well, maybe he shouldn't have got a shot in the head. You know, why did they shoot him? How come they couldn't do something else, you know? And like you said, what if you try to send in more officers and he kills two or three more officers? So, like I said, as far as that angle, I think that's something that should be used more in these type of negotiations. If a person doesn't want to give up, then you take them out, and if he happens to blow them up, hey, so be it. But you're not killing people. You can't have it both ways.
Yeah. You know what I will say, though, Paris?
You can't have it both ways.
Here was my main issue, and it really had, again, it had nothing to do with race or who was right or wrong. The biggest issue that I had was that when you look at the situation with the bomber or with the shooter, and he says, "I have bombs all over Dallas," there is a part of me, and again, I've never worked in a tactical situation. I've never been involved in that. But there was a part of me that sat back and said, man, if this dude said he had other bombs, you would think that they would try to get the information. But there was, but if you're the police chief, man, that's a no-win situation. And,
right.
You know, it's a no-win situation. And the other part of that is, and I know there was a lot of people celebrating, and the human part of me can't grasp that. First of all, you know, to the people that were saying, you know, we want a war, you don't want a war. You don't want a war with people that are licensed to carry and can kill you and have killed you and have gotten away with it. You don't want that war. So my next question to you, Paris, about the situation, and real quick to those listening on the BDSR site, you can call us 347-637-3859 if you're one of the people that have called in and are currently listening. Press the 1 button if you want to get in on the conversation. So, Paris, when you look at it, let's take the next step because, you know, I mean, there's been a lot of talk about it, so we're not going to stick on this subject all night. Just as a man, when going to the next step, which would be finding a middle ground, what, in your opinion, and I know you're getting into the field a little bit with your current career path, what would you, or do you have any suggestions? And if so, what would they be to move forward and to try to find some common ground so that we could, you know, try to make this work a little bit better? Do you have any suggestions? Because I think that's really the key. There's a lot of people complaining, but nobody has any, you know, suggestions/solutions. Do you have
I think from a law enforcement point of view, something has to be done about cops and how they are trained and how they are reprimanded on the job. Cops need to be held accountable at all times. And that's the main problem and the foundation of the frustration that people feel, because we all know, proven in statistics, I'm not telling nobody nothing that they don't know, but minorities receive harsher crimes from judges. They are treated different by the police. We know this. This is evident. All my instructors are either lawyers, judges, police officers, police captains. Everyone is a parole officer. Everyone is in the career field. They're high on the food chain. And they've all said this. Everybody knows what's going on. That needs to be fixed first and foremost. The code blue needs to be broken down. There's laws that's been passed recently. There was a law passed. I posted it in one of our forums in Illinois and Louisiana and I think 13 other states that actually gives cops greater protection than a normal citizen would have when they're involved in these type of shootings. That's why the good thing about Louisiana is that the Department of Justice is investigating, and the Department of Justice doesn't have to follow those same guidelines. But otherwise, it's, you know, the cops can't be interviewed. I want to say it's either 10 or 30 days. You know, it seems like they're going out of their way to protect these individuals. Now, from a community point of view, I've always thought that this is often missed, is that a lot of times your local sheriffs, and those are the type of people that establishes policies in your counties, those people are elected. Their record is public knowledge. You can look at what they stand for. You can look at the policies that they're trying to promote. Those are the people that, when it comes time to vote, those are the people that you need to attack. Those are the guys that's in the communities that can make the most change. And something else that I've always felt is I wish, and the Dallas police chief even said it, and he said something And it was a matter of fact, he's like, hey, we're accepting applications. Because, you know, I don't know what it is, but it was a couple of young brothers that came to my door a couple of weeks ago, and they were selling some type of cleaning detergent. One guy was from Oklahoma, the other guy's from New York. So, you know, I talked to these guys for about half an hour. I'm like, I'm not buying no cleaning detergent, but hey, let's just chew the fat, see where your head's at. So I'm talking to the guys, and I'm talking to him about different career opportunities. And I was like, hey, you guys ever thought about joining the military? I thought about it. You know, we talked about that for a while. I'm like, hey, what about a job in law enforcement? No. And I wish that more of us, and I'm saying minorities, would take that route, would get involved, because quite honestly, we have a hard time as far, and especially in leadership positions, it's only about 2% in those leadership positions in police stations where differences can be made. So when you have your supervisors, your managers, your leaders, if there was more minorities in those positions, then maybe that can help break down the code of blue that we still have going on, where we have certain people to look out for certain individuals. I mean, usually whenever you see these cops that's involved in any of these controversial shootings, if you check their history, this isn't the first rodeo. You know, like right. The cop that tackled the tennis player a couple months
James
ago.
Blake.
Yeah, that
James
guy,
Blake.
You know, that guy had a rap sheet about as long as my arm. So why hadn't he been the hell was suspended? Why hadn't he been fired by now? Those are the issues,
yeah.
And those are the changes that need to be made.
Yeah, I can't argue with you. It's, you know, it's like I made a comparison a couple days ago to a child. If a child does wrong and the parents don't punish them, the child knows, like if a child goes for a cookie, the parent catches them and goes, well, I guess you got it now. Well, the kid is going to be trying
right.
to get that cookie all the time. But if a kid goes for a cookie and you put it on, that's not to say that they won't get the cookie again, but they'll definitely think twice about it. You know, I think it starts right there. I think if more cops had to pay for their transgressions, I think the next one would think twice about it and say, you know, maybe this isn't fairly a good move. But again, like I said, we're not gonna stay on this too long. So, did you have any closing thoughts on this issue, Paris, before we move on?
No, just my only thought is that quite honestly, this is a time where it's easy to preach separatism. It's easy to lash out. It's easy to yell and scream. But this is one time where everybody needs to sit back and think and have a calculated plan of exactly how we're going to attack these issues. And you touched on a good point. And, you know, you see a lot of stuff on Facebook. And you hear people talk about, hey, we need to take up arms. Or we need to. No, that's not what we need. The last thing
at
we
all.
Need is any more, you know, young brothers gunned down. You know, because, you know, they decided, hey, we're going to do this and we're going to react. You know, we don't need people antagonizing cops and doing things of that nature. Because, like I said, you know, and I believe in most cops. You know, if you ask me, I would say it's about 75% of most cops is just solid dudes, man, and they just trying to do their doggone job. You know, they're trying to do their job. It's not an easy job. It's a hard job. Sometimes mistakes are made. But that's why I always say it goes back to the criminal justice system that consistently lets us down. One thing, and this will be my last point, one thing I saw in that OJ space story was on a 30 for 30, and I almost forgot about this, was in L.A. during that time where that store owner shot that teenage girl. Shot that girl in cold blood and received probation. See, those are the type of acts right there that I always tell people when I'm sitting in a classroom, when I'm trying to explain this to certain individuals that maybe might not understand the quote-unquote, and I'm doing my fingers with a quotation mark, the black point of view, those are the type of instances and situations that have been perpetuated throughout the history of this country that leads to a lot of people having a mindset that they have. And I honestly feel, you know, and maybe this is a pipe dream, but I honestly feel that if the criminal justice system was covering people's backs more, we wouldn't be in this position. If cops did something that people saw it on TV and they went, well, he's about to go to jail for the rest of his life. I think that diffuses a lot of the situation. But what do people say? Man, he about to get off. Because they've seen it happen time after time after time. And I'm not talking the controversial shootings. You know, there's people that go too far, and it's like, well, you know, why did the cop do this? You know, well, he was only wrestling with them. No. I'm talking, you know, the Tamir Rice. I'm talking cases like that, where a young kid is in Walmart, and you walk in and you shoot this. How does that happen? How do you walk up to a park and just shoot a kid with a gun? How do you walk into a Walmart and shoot a young kid? Somebody calls and says, hey, it's a kid here. I think he has a gun. You go to Walmart and you kill him in cold blood. Things like that should never, ever happen. You know, and it gets me sort of fired up when I think about full service acts, because those are the acts that, in my opinion, are criminal. You know, it's the difference between a tragedy and a criminal act. And a lot of those acts are criminal. Those individuals need to be prosecuted, you know, as far as the law allows, but too many times, they walk away, and that's why people don't have faith in the system.
All right. I will say this in closing. I have a guy that I've known since 83, white guy. He's a Republican, and he's a cop. So as a cop, you can imagine that he's defending the cops at all costs. I sent him a message, and I told him, I said, you and I need to meet. I haven't seen this cat probably he pulled me over like 8 years ago, and was just, I didn't know it was him. He pulled me over, and we just started talking. But other than that, I haven't seen him in like 10 years. And I told him, I said, dude, we need to sit down and talk, because I think that maybe if you saw the look in my eye as a black man, if you got to hear me tell you how it feels to be a black man dealing with these type of issues, maybe you'll look at it a little different. And maybe if I look at you in your eyes while you're talking, maybe I'll understand it a little bit different from a cop perspective. Maybe if we take what we see on TV out of the conversation, maybe we can start to understand the other side a little bit better. You know, and I'm not one of those people that necessarily believes that conversation cures all ills, but I definitely believe that understanding can help people understand what the other side is going through. So, with that said, P, we are going to keep moving. And we're going to get into a little sports talk. So, again, anybody that's listening, if you want to get in on the sports talk conversation, number one, let us know what's going on. Paris, we had a lot of movement in free agency since our last show. NBA free agency, I'm sorry. The biggest move of them all, the biggest fish out there, was KD. KD goes to Golden State. And then the aftermath begins. Stephen A. calls him weak. A bunch of other people jump on the bandwagon and go along with him. He's weak. I tend to disagree. If you want to say, well, if you want to say that, you know, he's taking the easy road, you know, that's cool. I can live with that, because I definitely think he's taking the easy road. But I, you know, if I learned nothing else from the LeBron saga, it's that we live in a society now, Penny. You and I are older cats. You know, I'm 45. If you want to tell your age, you can do that on your own. I'm 45.
I'm 33.
And okay, yeah, well, that whole us being in the same class in high school thing just went out the window. Forget that we sat there and played cards at the lunch table. But okay, you're 12 years behind. But when you look at that LeBron situation, it told me, the older guy, that times have changed. Now, we've all heard Paris in the different sports groups or different sports shows, whether it be ESPN's First Take or PTI, or just, like I said, within the Sports Authority and other stuff, or the Sports Authority, I should say, you have a lot of talk about rings.
Right.
How can you, as a fan, hold the cat accountable for his ring and then criticize him when he goes to get the same ring that you hold over his head on a regular basis? Now, I'm not saying you, Paris, but I'm saying the individuals. What were your thoughts, Paris, on KD's going to Golden State? And also, what were your thoughts on the backlash from his decision?
First and foremost, I think we deserve some type of award, because I feel like we broke the whole KD thing back in December when we started talking about that on this very show. And I know we had the conversation, and I know Perk was involved, and it was a couple other callers. And we talked about this. So, you know, if we were national boys, we'd be patting ourselves on the back right now, and we could live off that for the rest of our lives. Like somehow Stephen A. Smith, every year he tells us he broke the Dwayne Wade, LeBron, you know, thing in Miami. That's his claim to fame, that he broke that. I really don't remember that going down like that, but if he says it, okay, fair enough. I think he sort of put it out there, and then when it happened, I think once the momentum started looking like it could happen, he jumped on board saying it could happen. Then when it happened, he said, like, he told you. That's the way I remember it, but hey, maybe I'm wrong, he's right. I'm just saying.
Okay.
So all the KD backlash, all I have to do is tell people, stop, shut up, leave him alone, let it go. Because like you, I've decided a long time ago that this is a different era.
Yep.
Guys are going to make moves to win championships. And Corey, you know, I was in Vegas when it happened, right? And, you know, I just have to be looking at my phone, and I'm going to take this off the path for a little bit. But I'm looking at guys that I know from being in the military. You know, I'm reading the timelines. I'm looking at him. You know, these guys calling him weak and, you know, he's a chump and he's taking easy way, you know. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute. I know you guys. I watched you guys do what KD has done. I watched you guys chest beat and say how I'm the best point guard on base. I'm the best power forward. You know, I'm the best big man on the base. I'm the best shooter. I'm the best. I'm the man, you know. Chest beat. Can't nobody hold me. I give you buckets. You know, the whole nine. But then I've watched you go out of your way to combine with other players who's considered to be the best at every situation and every turn. People do it all the time. Now, individuals have told me that's different. I disagree. I think it's the same. Because you always try to put yourself in the best position to win. You know, and at the end of the day, you made a good point. Whatever we do, our Mount Rushmores or this or that, all the guys we put up here, they all have one thing in common, a handful of rings. That's what it's all about, winning championships. And I'm sure when it's time for Kevin Durant to go into his Hall of Fame, you know, when he's giving his Hall of Fame speech and they're reading his credentials, I'm sure he likes to be mentioned as a 2, maybe 3-time champion instead of none. You know, and that's why I said, you know, with all the unwritten rules, I'm just done with it. Because it just seems like 2 summers ago, we was killing Carmelo Anthony for not taking a chance to try to win. We criticized Carmelo Anthony for not going to Chicago and Houston and try to win. We said, Melo just cares about money. He's a chump. He don't want to win nothing. But then when we got a guy that puts himself in the best position to win, Now that's the problem. Now here comes the rule. Well, that's because the team won 73 games. He's, you know, they got an MVP. So wait a minute. So now there's a certain level of rules when it comes to try to win. Because if he'd have went to San Antonio with Kawhi Leonard and LaMarcus Aldridge, that's okay. And I'm going to pick on my
It is odd that nobody's mentioned that Powell is trying to get a ring. No, but no, I haven't heard one person say, look at Powell trying to get a ring.
No, that's another unwritten rule. When you're older.
Just throwing that out there. I've never heard anybody say that.
Yes. When it's older, somehow you get a waiver. It's okay when you get older, or we like to say it. You know, and I'm going to pick on my Houston friends for a while because, you know, the sports group. I listen to the Houston guys, and they're saying, you know, before KD said, not interested, I'm good, don't want no part of that beard guy. It was, hey, we're going to get KD this year. And next year we're going to get Russell Westbrook and maybe Blake Griffin. And that was cool. Everybody was on board. That was lovely. That wasn't weak. It was nothing about that was weak. So you mean to tell me you got superstar James Harden, Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant, you possibly have the best point guard, small forward, and, well, not the best shooting guard, but a good shooting guard. You know, I'm just not a real big fan. Best shooting guard and Blake Griffin on the same team, that's okay. But because KD went to Golden State, all holy hell breaks loose because, you know, they won 73 games, they got an MVP, yada, 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 which makes absolutely no sense to me. You can't pick and choose. That's my whole thing, is that people like to pick and choose when it's appropriate and when it isn't. And I'm just going to keep it 100% funky. When you're a fan, and if this was happening to your team, be quiet. You would not be complaining. You would be jumping up and down and making championship plans. You would not be complaining. You would be happy. And it's just the new NBA at the end of the day. Like, certain things I gave up on. You know, LeBron James, what he did in 2010, he sort of broke down a barrier. Now it's wide open. And I said, it's not going to stop. Another, if you want to call him super team, it's coming down the line. Paul George, you think he's going to stay in Indiana? You serious? He sees what's going on. You know, getting guys like Jeff Teague and, you know, Al Jefferson, that's nice. You know, nice little moves, but that's not going to feed the Bulldog. You know, DeMarcus Cousins, we know he's out of there next summer. Russell Westbrook, he's about to lose.
First thing, smoking.
You know, who's to say all these guys don't end up?
Getting out of Sacramento.
Yes. What's to say that these guys don't all end up on the same team in 2 to 3 years? That's where we're going. That's where it is. It starts in high school. You know, the best kids, now you have parents, they move kids from state to state. They send them to places like Oak Hill Academy and all these schools that's known for basketball. You know, when it's time for college, they all team up. They go to Duke. They go to Kansas. It doesn't stop. Now you get to the NBA. Now you have the Olympic teams and the World Championship of Basketball squads where everybody's friends, everybody's cordial, everybody's getting to know each other. So it's different. The landscape of basketball has changed. And I'm just not going to be the guy sitting here screaming and talking about how, you know, Michael wouldn't have done it, Larry wouldn't have. You know, fair enough. I know they wouldn't have. It was a different time. But guess what? That time has passed. It's over, so let it go. It ain't no need of complaining about it. It's not going to change. You know, you can call it weak. You can call it. But I will say this. All those same guys that's out there calling it weak. You just make sure next time you go to the gym, don't call your buddies that happen to be good. Just go sign up with whoever's there. Take the chance. Let's see how that works out.
I'm going to say this. I found it interesting that a lot of people said they're not going to watch the NBA because that's a lie. If Maury was here right now, Maury would say that the lie detector test has determined that that is a lie. We will all be there opening night to see how KD fits in with Golden State. I'm assuming that they will be part of the opening game of the season.
Somehow they will be.
It is. No, I mean, and they should be. They're, you know, I mean, I would love to see a rematch of the championship. You know what I'm saying? I would love to see the opening game be Cleveland, Golden State.
They'll say that for Christmas. That'll be a
probably,
Christmas.
Yeah, that probably will be a Christmas game.
But
so we'll probably see
Cleveland
tonight, though. We'll probably see Cleveland, and then we'll see Golden State the next night.
Right. Cleveland will play the first game. Golden State will be the second half of the doubleheader. I mean, could they send OKC in the Golden State as far as Cleveland? I mean, okay, we can stop doing the Chicago-Cleveland thing first game of the year because we always win and all hell breaks loose after that. So, yeah, you know, you said Boston into Cleveland or maybe Toronto or San Antonio. I don't know. Hey, it doesn't matter. You know, but Cleveland gets the first game. Then we'll see Golden State. And I agree with you. Golden State is going to be must-watch TV because not only are they going to be a good team, you're either going to be tuning in to maybe watch them win by 20 or watch them lose by 20.
It's the Miami Heat all over again from 2010.
Yeah. So,
I didn't watch Miami to
win. Watch.
I watched to hope they lose. I'm just gonna be honest.
Mm-hmm.
So people are gonna tune in. Now let's keep it on free agency. This year we saw, for lack of a better term, and I'm gonna try to keep it nice, mediocre players getting superstar money. Next year the cap goes up, which means we'll see more mediocre players getting superstar money. I know you've delved into this a little deeper than I have, Paris. And again, if anybody wants to get in on the conversation, don't forget press that number one button. I know you've delved into this a little bit deeper than I have, Paris. What are we looking at here? Are we looking at a lockout, a strike? Are we looking at this is just the way it's going to be for a while, where mediocre players are going to get paid? What are we looking at going forward? What is the future of the NBA as it pertains to free agency?
Unfortunately, I think we're looking at a work stoppage because I think what you're going to see, first of all, there's a split in the players' union as well because you have about maybe 10 to 15 players, you know, LeBron James, you know, Stephen Curry, you know, the usual suspects. And
top
I'm
cats,
sure that
right.
those guys, right, those guys don't like max salaries. You know, LeBron James is, why can I only make $33 million a year when, quite honestly, for what I bring to the city of Cleveland, I really should be making $50 million a year. And he wouldn't be wrong by saying that for the revenue that he generates.
Nope.
But if you look at the majority of players, the rest of the 420 players in the NBA, those guys profit from the salary structure being the way it is with the max contract. Because you get guys like Chandler Parson and, oh my God, Mike Conley, and one of the most overrated players in the NBA, I think, Al Horford. He's $113 million for 15-7. I still don't get it. Those guys all benefit from the system the way it is. So it's a thing where it's the have versus the have-nots in the players' union itself. Now, I'm sure the owners would love to have a salary cap. They probably would love to go, okay, fine. We'll do away with max contracts, but hey, guess what? We're just going to have a salary cap. You know, the salary cap be $140, $150 million, and you pay your players based off the salary cap. We'll get rid of the bird rights. We'll get rid of all that stuff and go NFL and just have a hard salary cap. And that's where the fight is going to happen. Because if I'm a player, unless I'm that top 10, I don't want that. Quite honestly, I want the system to sort of stay the way it is. But I don't know if they need to. I mean, I don't know if they need to do scales because it's a lot of money out there, you know. And I know everybody's own. You know, this isn't a, what is that whole owners players thing? You know, we got old billionaires versus billionaires. I don't feel sorry for nobody. Everybody still be rich and gonna be good at the end of the night. So I'm, you know, not really going down that angle. But and I don't want to take no money out of Mike Conley's family's mouth. But when you have a system set up where Mike Conley makes $151 million, 153, I think. I don't want to shortchange no money. Something might not quite be right. That's all I'm saying. Something just might be out of whack a little bit. Something isn't right.
That's a bit strong. You know, I don't know, Paris. And we've heard LeBron say in the past, he said out front, he's alluded, you know, he's flat out said what you alluded to about he deserves more money. And it's going to get real interesting as you got into it a little bit. It's going to get real interesting when the other 97-98% of the players realize that they're being left out of this conversation. That the top dogs are worried about themselves.
You got to remember, the owners didn't want this. When the TV money came in, the NBA, they wanted to ease the money in. But the players were like, nope, we want it, and we want it now. The owners wanted to ease it in because they were afraid what could happen in Golden State was going to happen.
Well, no, understand. What I'm saying, I'm referring to the players. I'm referring to what you said about the divide. This has nothing to do with ownership.
That divide is real.
It's about my comment is about the divide between the 98% of the players that aren't in the top 10 to 20 players. The rest of those guys are going to realize at some point that other 2% are trying to run the NBA world. And you can make the correlation between real world top 1%, you know, running the financial world. I mean, you could go that deep with it if you like. I personally don't want to work stoppage. I don't think anybody does. I don't think any fans do.
No.
Put it like that. I don't think any fans do. We've been there before, and nobody wants that. Now, I'm no fool. They can withstand it. The NBA can withstand a work stoppage. The NBA cannot have a season. The NBA is not hockey. You know, it's not hockey where you can, you know, miss half a season or whatever, miss a season, and then take years to get your fans back. The NBA cannot have a season, and we'll all be there the next season on opening day. But as a fan, nobody wants that. But when you have guys averaging 6 points and 3 rebounds a game, you know, making $15 million a year, $12 million a year. Something, you know, my Keith Sweat voice, something just ain't right. It just ain't right.
Yeah.
Let's keep it moving. Again, if anybody wants to get on the conversation, don't forget, press the number one. Let's bring it home for a second, Paris. Let's bring it to our team. You have the Chicago Bulls who have signed. Oh, and let me say this before I forget, to everybody out there, we have a member of the Sports Authority, the Facebook group. If anybody's listening and you're on Facebook and you're not part of the sports group, search the Sports Authority. Come in for some good sports back and forth. Also, the guy that I'm about to speak on, who's a member of the Sports Authority, is also a member of my hip-hop group, We Know Hip Hop. Crown and the MOB will be performing tomorrow night at the ESPY Awards on ABC. I know it comes on at 7 p.m. Central. So check out, you know, support good music. Support, if you're listening and you're part of the group and you've interacted with Crown, support Crown. He's a good dude. And, yeah, sure, watching the show doesn't necessarily mean that you're quote-unquote supporting Crown. But, you know, check him out. I've downloaded his music. I've paid for it. I haven't done it illegally. I have actually gone in and paid money for his music to support my man because, you know, I'm just saying, P, you know, I'm just saying, I've gone in and paid money to support my man and his endeavor. So check that out tomorrow night, ABC, ESPY Awards. Also, I wanted to bring this up while I was thinking about it, and you and I can appreciate this, Paris. I think it's Thursday night. And I'm trying to remember if it was ESPN or ESPN2, but we're going to have the Doc Gooden, Daryl Strawberry, 30 for 30. And, you know, growing up, I was not a Mets fan, but if you were a baseball fan at that time, you knew who Doc Gooden was, and you knew who Daryl Strawberry was. It's actually Thursday night, 8 p.m. Central. So I guess that's 5 p.m. where you are, or I'm sorry, I don't know, 5 or 6. What are you, 2 hours behind the chairs or 3? I can't remember what time change. Okay. So 5 o'clock your time, 9 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock, or 6 o'clock Western. Check that out, even the younger cats. Doc Gooden, Daryl Strawberry were two guys that had opportunities to be two of the best to do what they do, and they let drugs and alcohol bring them down. All right, so let's keep it going. Let's get back to what we're getting at. I just need to get that out while I was thinking about it. Like I said, Paris, you have guys, you have mediocre guys that are making superstar money. Gus, where you think it's going to go, we're getting into the Chicago Bulls. Rondo signs. Wade allegedly is signing. Never forgot. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to keep on hashtagging never forgot because I haven't forgot what Wade did in 2010. Well, not what he did, but what he said. Has he officially signed yet, Paris? Did he sign today? I saw a picture of him under a Bulls insignia.
I don't know.
Did he actually sign today?
I don't know. And I honestly don't understand all the paranoia. For real, I think it's a Chicago thing because – or maybe it's because I really don't get it. My understanding was they talked about it on the radio, and Big Boy Hood was on there, and they said that he would be signing and doing all that on July 29th when he got back from his China tour.
June 29th? Or you said July?
I'm sorry, July.
I mean, I'm
29th.
Sorry. July 29th. So what was that? Monday? Hold on, July 29th.
July 29th. Yeah, that's like in 2 weeks. That's when Big Boy Hood.
Oh, originally you had said it was going to be Monday, this past Monday.
No, Casey Johnson, then they switched it. And Casey Johnson tweeted yesterday, Dwayne Wade is here, yada, 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 signing imminent. Now, whether he actually signed or not, nobody knows. But at this point.
We know.
At this point, it's a done deal, so I'm not worried about it at all. And I see the Bulls decide Isaiah Cannon. But as far as Bulls free agency goes, I mean, I never thought that Dwayne Wade would leave Miami. And I remember that day we talked, and I still thought he was going back by there. I'm like, okay, he's mad.
I did too.
Uncle Pat pissed him off, and, you know, he's lashing out, and he's like, I'm going to talk to people. And two things happened that day that made me go, he might leave. First of all, Jason Jackson was on the radio, who is Mr. Miami. And, you know, the Heat fans were like, man, don't worry about it, Jason. We're good, yada, yada, yada. And he was like, this feels different. You know, I mean, he didn't really seem as confident. Last year, it was all confidence.
Right.
I feel expected because that day Dwayne Wade had meetings with the Milwaukee Bucks, the Denver Nuggets, then the Chicago Bulls. He had the meeting with, and then the Miami Heat. He had the meeting with Denver and Milwaukee. In classic Chicago fashion, the Bulls' contingent flight kept getting delayed, and they did not make the meeting. So I'm like, are these guys flying on Spirit or what? I mean, that's just classic, you know, some Chicago Bulls stuff. How you not meet the flight?
Right.
So they don't make the flight and
yeah.
They have to meet with the Heat. So I figured, I assume, well, you know, you'll have to meet with the Heat. And, you know, they'll go, okay, what's the best offer you got in the street? And, you know, he'll be like, well, Denver, you know, $53 million. And they'll go, okay, we'll give you, you know, 48. And he'll go, okay, good. But that never happened. And before you know it, he's a Chicago Bull. Did you see it coming?
Hey, let me jump in with some breaking news, Paris. I don't know if you saw it, but the NBA announces change to the intentional foul rules at the end of the game, or what people commonly know as hack a shack. I really can't. It's a pretty long thing here I'm looking at. So I'm not going to try to break down exactly what they're doing. I'm just going to say that they've changed the rule, and I'm sure next week we can jump into it a little more in depth. But apparently for the 2016-17 season, The change, there have been some changes, so we'll see what that's all about. I'm sorry, man. Just wanted to throw that breaking news in there. It's been a very interesting offseason, Paris. I mean, as far as free agency goes with the Bulls and what they've done, because we went from trading Derrick Rose and wondering what the direction of the team was to we have Rondo and we have Dwayne Wade. You have Rondo, down in summer at the summer league, and he's working with the kids down there. It's nice to see that he's engaged. And you know, and then I heard a report that Fred, you know, had said, "Hey, it was brought up that when Fred was at Iowa State, he let his point guards, his veteran point guards, you know, make play calls. He would make play calls, but he trusted them on the floor to adjust on the fly." And one of the bigger complaints people had about Rondo was that he didn't want to listen to coaches. He wanted to do his own thing. So I think the fact that Fred is giving a little bit on that will make the relationship a little bit better. But back to the point, did not see the Bulls getting Wade or Rondo. You had Boston, for example, who had all those picks and all of that potential. And it seemed to me like they screwed the pooch a little bit on that and didn't take advantage of it. You know, you and I have gone back and forth about Danny Ainge. I said that if it wasn't for the KG trade and the getting Ray Allen, that dude would be an analyst on ESPN right there with Mark Jackson and the rest of them. But that one move and that one title, the one move definitely saved his job. It's a very interesting time in the NBA, Paris. It's very intriguing from the standpoint of you don't know who can do what. You got cats like Crab. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing his name right. Crabby in Portland. This dude is getting like, what was it, 78 million for 4 years or 5 years or something. It's a very interesting time. Very interesting. But as far as the NBA goes, I'll say this in closing, and then I wanted to get into a little MLB talk with the All-Star game going on as we speak. I'll say this. It kills me when I hear people say that the players don't deserve this money, because at the end of the day, if the owners can't afford to pay it, the question you should probably be asking is how much money are they making? They're not going broke paying out these salaries. These guys are the best in the world at what they do. I mentioned that years ago I played in an AAU tournament against different cats from the league, and Ty Day, I had to check Ty Day, former Arkansas Razorback, former Milwaukee Buck, whatever other teams he played for. And somebody told him that I thought he was slow. This dude told me what he was going to do 5 times in a row, and there was nothing I could do about it but watch. My point is that even the guys that are in the league that we think are bums will kill you. they are the best at what they do, and they deserve what they get. Some may get a little bit more than they deserve. Some get a little bit more than they deserve, and Mike Conley. But you know, overall, I got no problem with it. No, you got it, man. You're closing thoughts. You can comment on what I said and give me what you got.
That Magic was never known to be fast.
Well, neither was I, Paris. You've known me. Well, I don't know. I thought we were in high school together. You're 33. I'm 45.
Big T was never known for the foot speed. So you know, I still don't know how fast Ty David is. That's all. I ain't taking no shot. I'm just saying.
Hey, man, we've known each other a long time. You can take every shot you want, bro. I'm gonna laugh at it and shoot back. I'm not gonna take it personal. I was slow when I was in shape. When I was in shape, I was slow. So I make
funny.
No bones about it, P. I still remember the time we were in gym class. And you were running backwards, and I was running full speed, mad as hell that I could not catch you. I have never forgotten that. You forgot that. I've never – you were – and laughing the whole time. I'm like, dude. Okay, all right. So now that we've embarrassed me and my foot speed, you got any closing thoughts on this before we get to the MLB? Because I did want to ask you a couple questions about that.
I just think this is going to be a great NBA season. And I'm listening to all the Chicago reporters, and of course, these are the most pessimistic reporters in the world. And they all say, well, it's not like the Bulls are going to win a championship this year. Well, you know what? No, that's, what I'm about to say, Sherlock. We were going to win a championship anyway. And quite honestly, it's only two teams that's going to win a championship, maybe a third if somebody gets lucky, so that really doesn't matter. And when you look at the East, I posed a question in the sports group today, who do you see not making the playoffs? And the consensus was New Jersey, Philadelphia, and Orlando. It's going to be very entertaining because there's Cleveland, there's a real big gap, and then there's everybody else. I think you can put Toronto, they deserve to be second. Boston, they're always good in the regular season. Indiana's made some nice moves. So, okay, you can say that those four are pretty secure unless, the injury bug really hits them and, hurts them real bad. Those four are secure. But after that, no telling what the heck could happen.
Right.
After that, I see like eight teams that I could see making a playoff, from the Bulls to the Knicks to, Detroit, Milwaukee, Atlanta, all these teams. I can make a scenario where they do make the playoff, and I can make a scenario where they don't as well. So ultimately, I think it's good for the NBA. Out west,
right,
sort of the same, but now Oklahoma City, they're no longer a threat. I really don't think San Antonio's a threat. I really don't. I think they're a little bit too old. I think they're a little bit too slow. They've lost a little depth now. And when Powell and L.A. go to sit down, I'm really not sure who their big men are going to be. So they're going to be in trouble. But as far as the season, I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a very good season. Just like we saw with the Miami Heat when they came together, they didn't win the first year. So I wouldn't be surprised if Golden State did. Because, it's going to take time to figure that thing out. It's just going to take a little time to get everybody to jail and get the pecking order. And just like with Miami, and they always talk about that first year, what made it so hard is everybody tried so hard to fit in. Nobody wanted to really step on nobody's toes. And nobody wanted to assert themselves like, hey, I'm the guy. But that second year, it was obvious. Dwayne Wade was like, yo, Bron, hey, do your thing. Then they took off and won a couple of championships. And we can see the same thing in Golden State. Because, they really are unselfish guys. And I can see those guys sort of nobody really wanting to assert themselves. And KD sort of not being KD and maybe Curry not being Curry. So it's going to take a while. They're going to be a real good team, though. So what do you have on Major League Baseball?
Here's my real quick before I get into that. We've got a bunch of people that have been listening. If you want to get in again on the conversation, press number one. Jump on in. MLB, we have the All Star Game tonight, Pierce. And yeah, I'm going to admit, I'm a White Sox fan. Yeah, I'll admit, I hate the Cubs.
Right.
So I'm just throwing that out there, just, full disclosure. Every year, a couple of years or whatever, there's always a conversation about all-star voting, whether it be the NBA and how guys that aren't even playing get in. MLB, this year we had the Cubs with seven guys in. Most of them deserved it, as far as the numbers go. But then you had Addison Russell batting .223, who made it in as a shortstop, which – or as a starting shortstop, no less, which I thought was a bit much. And then I wanted to also say this. I find it odd that baseball will – whoever had the best record gets the – when it comes to the different division winning series. And I've mentioned this before. I'm sure you've heard me say this before. So I'm just bringing it up because we're discussing it again. That it's odd to me that they'll let the teams with the best record have home field advantage or home stadium advantage when it's everything except for the title. When it comes to the World Series, all of a sudden it's, we have to go by the All-Star Game. Look, if you're going to tell me that the All-Star Game is a fun game and it's an entertainment game, then let the fans vote and whoever makes it, But if you're going to tell me that the All-Star game is going to determine the who gets home field for the World Series, the fans should have nothing to do with that. That should be players and coaches, because it's their championship or their opportunity to have home stadium, you know, for the championship on the line. I think it's kind of hedging the bets against, you know, hedging the two ends against the middle when you say it's an entertaining game and, oh, by the way, it means something. Oh, by the way, we're going to let fans vote, because we all know who fans are going to vote for. They're going to vote for their hometown
right.
players, unless, you know, as we've discussed before, there's a lot of people nowadays that just jump from team to team. So I guess there are people that live in Cali that will vote for a Houston Cat. There's cats that live in Chicago that will vote for a Florida Cat and all of that. But overall, I think we know what's going on. You know, you're going to vote for the fans of your team, wherever it is, wherever you live, wherever your team is, you're going to vote for your team. Do you think that when you look at the game and the importance of the game, do you think they should change how they do? And now I'm speaking on just baseball, simply because the All-Star game is such an important game when it comes to the final criteria at the end of the year.
Right.
Do you think they should change the way they pick the All-Star team in the MLB, Major League Baseball?
Before I get to that, this Bulls-Spurs Summer League game is great. These dudes are playing like it's a playoff game. And the Bulls just signed Isaiah Cannon. He had nothing to write on the mama about, but I guess you needed another point guard at some point in time. Better than Kirk Heinrich.
Dude, just don't sign Kirk Heinrich.
Yeah, just hey, when I saw that, I was like, the first thing that came to my mind was, well, it wasn't Kirk Heinrich, and I was okay.
Just,
you could assign anybody, and I would have said it wasn't Kirk Heinrich. But, you know, when they very first made that rule change, you know, I thought it was, like, real crazy. I was hell-bent against it. I'm like, it just don't make no sense. But as time has gone on, I still sort of don't agree, but in a way, I think I sort of get it. Because one thing I've always said, we've always said, is that baseball is the one of these, you know, between, you know, the All-Star game, you know, the NBA and that thing that they do in football and hockey where they – I don't know what they do in those things. But
I think I'm the only person to watch the NHL All-Star.
No,
NHL
I know. I'm
All-Star.
Talking about as far as it's just so non-competitive. Hockey is just as bad as football. I watch hockey and, you know, nobody checks. And they do, you know, the three-on-three thing or whatever. It's you know, it's a farce, quite honestly. But baseball is the one that – Yeah, but one thing about baseball that's different, and I've never put that in that category, because it's the only one where you don't change. The guys are still going to throw hard.
That's true.
Guys are still going to hit hard. So it's a real game. So it's a part of me.
Yeah,
like, well,
I can't argue with that.
This is the real game. And these guys are already competing. The fact that they know if they win this game, and if I make it to the World Series and I can get that seventh game at home, I'm sort of okay with this. I would say 55-40. I would say 55-45.
I'm okay with it. I'm not okay with fans after saying who the players are.
Well, you know what? That's the part of the All-Star game, though. I mean, I never really – it's
can't have it
basketball.
Both.
Every year people get fired up at basketball. You know, because it's always somebody doesn't make it. And I'm like, at the end of the day, I'm like, it's the NBA All-Star game. Who really cares? You know, that whole snub thing, who got snubbed. I really never get too excited either way. Because personally, I'm to the point to where, you know, players on my team, I don't want them to go anywhere. I want them to put their feet up for 4 or 5 days, so I really don't care. But if you take the fan vote away from baseball, I don't know. I've never quite thought about taking a fan vote away from baseball, because there's always one, like you said, Addison Russell. You know, there's always that one guy. But then, do you take it a step further, Corey? Do you get rid of the every team should have a representative? Personally, I sort of like that.
I don't have a problem with that. But again, all I'm saying is, I don't have a problem with any of them as standalone entities. If you get what I'm saying. I don't have a problem with fans voting on its own. I don't have a problem with the All-Star game determining who has home field advantage on its own. I don't have a problem with every team having representative on its own. But I find it odd that the biggest series of the season for it all, you could have the best record in the league and not have home field advantage because Cub fans voted in seven guys as starters. Just saying.
That's fair. That's fair. It would be the bum Cubs to ruin something, and Sale should have hit Bryant in the first inning. If I was Sale, I would have hit him.
I thought I was the only one that wanted him to throw right at his ribs. All right, look, we got a call up here. Somebody wants to get in with us, man. We've had people listening all night. Finally, somebody wants to comment. Let's bring them on in. 623 area code. I'm going to guess this is Wood, because that's usually the call we get from 623 that isn't Paris. So is this you, Wood?
Yeah, first of all, I want to know what planet Paris Daniel is 33 on.
Yeah. I feel good. I feel rejuvenated.
That's Planet Rock. Don't stop. What's going on? We haven't heard from you. Man, how you been doing?
I'm good, man. Been pretty good. How y'all doing?
Good, baby. Everything's good. I have a feeling, Paris. I have a feeling my man is calling here to talk about a little football. And for those of you that aren't regular listeners, by football, we mean the European version. What you got for us, brother?
We can talk regular football. We can, you know, world football. Either way, man, I'm just ready for baseball to be over. I'm sorry. You know, y'all got baseball, and baseball is literally eight months long. Literally.
It really is.
And it's not going to end until November, because that's when the world finishes, and it's about the first week of November. You know, it's out of control. But I will say, as far as, you know, the home field advantage, I do agree that the All-Star game is probably not the way to go, you know, and it probably should be down to, you know, best record, or they just flip it. One year the National League has it, one year the American League has it. I don't know. Is there a perfect solution? I don't know. What we have is the one we have, and that's just the way it is. So, you know, but more importantly, football is close to being back amongst us. Training camp
is
starting in, 2 weeks? There's always a good sign. SEC media days, I haven't really seen anything other than it being on TV, so that's a good sign right there. And, you know, y'all were talking about basketball free agency.
Mm-hmm.
In a way, it's the owner's fault, you know, but they're kind of in a catch-22 situation. If they want to fill the seats and bring a championship to the team, they have to go out and try and sign the best players. And, you know, the players, I'm a player, if I'm like Monty, that's an insane amount of money for a guy that is not that good. But if you don't ask for it, the team doesn't have to give it to him. You know,
right.
The owner doesn't have to agree to say, yeah, Mike Conley, I think you're worth $153 million over 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So realistically, you know, it's the owner's fault, because I can't blame players for asking for a guy like Mike Conley again to ask, well, let's get the most we can get. Let's see if they'll ask him. They can say no, you know, and he'll be like, oh, okay, you know, was he really going to leave Memphis? Probably not, you know. So realistically, it's kind of on the owners, but at the same time, they're kind of caught, because in order for them to get a good product on the floor, they have to splash the cash, so to speak. You know, and you can't. They're not going to be able to fill them back in, because these guys, money they got this year, how are they going to reel it back in? It might be like what Paris said, a work stoppage. For how long? Who knows? Because you can't, once you start giving these guys this money, you just got to keep funneling, handing out the bags. Unless you put a lower salary cap in place, unless you take 30, 40 million salary cap, it's not going to go away. It's going to keep going
well,
up and up.
Yeah, they won't lower the salary cap because then you'll hear the complaints about the owners keeping more money while giving the employees less. So that'll never happen.
No doubt.
I say never. I don't think it'll happen. I mean, you can't blame Mike Conley for getting what he can get.
And then as far like KD's situation, everybody should have known he was probably going to leave. You know, they should have been prepared. If they couldn't re-sign him during the year, we're pretty sure they were trying to. They should have known, been prepared that he was going to leave. And for people to call him weak or that's wrong. That man, I don't blame him. He felt that he needed to go sign with Golden in order to win a ring. More power to him. You know, more power to him. You know, guys do it across the league. So
I didn't mention it earlier, but I think we discussed it back and forth in the group. I think part of it, at least with Stephen A, it was personal. He went on that thing about KD going to the Lakers. Well, his people were telling him KD was going to the Lakers.
Right.
And then when KD did go, then he makes a 20-minute rant video about it. And it seemed a little suspect to me.
Yeah, that's a control. So, as far as, like, the world football front, you know, I'm a little surprised Portugal won the European Championship because I really thought Germany was in it, and I can't believe they lost. But, you know, the course of the last 40, 50 years, the French have kind of, you know, that's their nemesis. That's the German nemesis is the French when they play in finals. Sometimes they get the better of them. Sometimes they don't. But, you know, over the course of time, the French have, you know, had a better record against the Germans.
French, when I watched them play the very first game, I remember thinking to myself that they look like the most athletic soccer team I've seen in a while. And that's why I thought they were going to win the whole thing. Even though I wanted Portugal to win, but France has some athletes out there, man. I mean, they look like an NBA team. You know, when they overwhelmed Germany, I was like, wow. But Portugal, that goalie stood on his head. He played a real, 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 real good game. I thought he was
exactly,
outstanding.
He was
great that game. He was real good. A lot of key stops because the French, you know, they have a real good squad and they were applying a lot of pressure. But at the end of the day, now CR7 has a big trophy, and Messi
don't.
That's sort of all really that matters.
You know, season should be kicking off. What are you getting ready to say?
In my opinion. So how much better will Man U be this year?
I kind of haven't looked at their lineup. Give me like a week and I'll look at it.
Okay.
I think the young kid they signed, I've heard good things about him that they're going to put next to Smalling in defense. The problem still goes, you know, are they addressing the midfield situation?
Right.
And until they do that, I don't know. Because Yanazai, Reno's not going to keep him. There's a lot of guys that are just going to get offloaded. Memphis Depay, you know, we had a lot of hopes for him, but he ran out. So, you know, it's just going to depend on what Mourinho brings into the midfield. I think his first order of business is to shore up the defense. And once he does that, I think he'll go for – because they're still trying to get Pogba back. Now, what's funny is –
they're trying to get who back?
Had Pogba. Because, you know, United had him, right?
Right.
Yeah, because Sir Alex didn't play him. And because Sir Alex wouldn't play him, he let him walk for free to Juventus. Like, they didn't get nothing. They didn't own him, but he left on a free transfer.
Far
so now to get him back, you're going to have to pay an ignorant amount of money, and I mean an ignorant amount of money.
not exactly Alex's best moment.
No, it wasn't. And you know, the thing is that when he signed him, everybody said this kid is talented. He, you know, can go far. You just gotta get him in the game. But so Alex wasn't playing. You know, and I don't blame the kid for leaving, because I would have done the same thing. You know, you're a wide rangy midfielder, and you can cover a lot of ground. You can distribute the ball. The kid goals. You know, what more do you need? I mean, because he would have been the center of the midfield for years to come at United. Now we can make money, and now you're going to go and give up, you know, six figures easily. Like I said, an ignorant amount of money to get him back from getting him out of Juventus. So, now whether Mourinho does that or not, I don't know. But it seems like the Glazers might be willing to pump the money, so.
Well, let's hope that works out, because last time I got excited was when we signed Van Persie, and we all know how that worked out. So I learned how
to be excited no more. Well, you know what, Van Persie actually wasn't bad. I think the problem with Van Persie was he got worn out that one year, and it wasn't Van Persie, the David Moyes signing. They should have never, ever signed David Moyes. He was not capable of handling Manchester United as a manager, because I tell you right now, his experience in Europe, whenever Everton made it to Europe, they lost. They always went out in the first round. So I knew that guy was not going to be able to step up and take over for Sir Alex. And then on top of that, the very first thing he said was, within 2 years, I'm going to put my stamp on this club. Come on, bro. That's like saying I'm gonna put 20-inch rims and a 4x4 on a Lamborghini Murciélago. You just don't do that. You don't do it, you know, because and then drive it over rocks and sand and stuff. So you gonna take a thing for a machine and you gonna try and mess it up. And that's exactly what he did. And they've been trying to recover it. So. You know, Van Gaal was the right hire, you know, to take over. But when Moyes took over, that was a bad decision. And then I think Van Persie was hurt a little bit during the year. And then he never really recovered. He didn't get time off to recover. He had a horrible World Cup. And he showed when Van Gaal picked him up. That's the reason I think Van Gaal let him go, was because he was just out of shape. He just was not doing good.
All right. Yo, cool. Thanks, Wood. We'll get you back for some more soccer talk there next week. Will, what you got to say about the Cowboys?
Look, man, we've been watching these clowns on. I mean, listen, we're going to be better than the Bears. I'll tell you that right now. Hey.
Hold up.
We're going to be better than the Bears.
Watch,
you just deal with that.
Watch this, Terrence. See, he forgot that I could hit that mute button real quick to quiet all of that. See how quiet it got here?
Come on, man.
I'm going to bring him back.
Come on,
I'm going to bring him back in. I'm going to bring him back in so he can
finish. Look, I asked you a simple question. All that wasn't necessary.
He
want
to take shots at the Bears.
Okay,
the simple answer is
the Cowboys will probably be at best 10-6, if they're lucky. 9-7 is more than likely, because even though they got Ezekiel Elliott, they picked up Alfred Morris. I would have signed Greg Hardy because actually the end of last year, and nobody heard nothing about him. So that means he's acting kind of good. You lost three kids to drug suspension, and they, apparently what they're doing for Randy Gregory wasn't working because he got suspended for 4 games. Rolando McClain is one band away from being out the league for good. As talented as he is, but he's stupid. And then they got another kid that on the defensive line is busted for substance abuse. Lee is a tackle away from being out the league because of the concussions. So, really, you have no help on the defensive line. Your linebacking core is weak. And the second really wasn't addressed. All that being said is, you know, for the last 2 years, the one problem that's plagued them is being able to get off the field or down, and they have not fixed problem. Until they do, and, you know, really, Romo, as much as I try to believe in the guy, you know, this is probably his last year. Because if he's hurt again, I don't think he plays in 2017. You know, if he has a off like he did, because I don't think he'll play in 2017. I honestly don't. So, if we're lucky, if things go our way, 10-6, maybe 9-7. But we're not winning no Super Bowl or anything like that.
Well,
if we do, I'll be happy.
With you.
Don't be wrong.
I disagree with you on the Hardy situation simply because he really wasn't that good on the field. If you read the reports, he was still late to meetings. The coach had to
right.
talk to him a couple of times. And the idiot about a month and a half ago in an interview said, what did he say? I never touched her or something like that. So, yeah.
I didn't say the guy was smart.
Yeah. So, you know, and that's the thing. Once you're an idiot, your production needs to exceed the normal amount to where people will put up with you. We've seen it from Terrell Lewis down. When you're crazy competitive or when you're just crazy productive, people put up with a lot of stuff. You know,
exactly.
You get 14 sacks, people look the other way. If you late to a meeting or two, you get 14 sacks. You get 6 sacks, all of a sudden that's not cool no more. And that's where
yeah.
Greg Hardy is. And as far as the Gregory kid, yeah, I mean, that was just a calculated risk, I guess. But, I mean,
it's,
the story
it's the
about
same
him
it's
failing,
the, with Daylon
you know,
Smith, too.
I don't know. Yeah, I understand, you know, kids gonna make a mistake. But when you have a well-documented issue in college, if I'm a GM, I'm probably really staying away from you, unless it's like the 6th round sort of thing, you know. Otherwise, I'm really not messing with you. And as far as the Bears, the Cowboys, hey, we play at Jerry's World this year. We're 2-0
yeah.
in Jerry's World. We like playing at Jerry's World. Yeah,
we can argue that Jerry's World is actually Chicago South.
I think hey,
we, last
way back
time we
to
played
the
Chicago,
hey,
spanked
hey,
the Bears.
Hey,
so what's your point?
I'm going back to the 44 nothing man in 1985. Or was it 84? The post 1984.
It was 85.
Well, it was the 85. The 85 Bears, we beat y'all in 84. We beat y'all in 84 as well. We beat y'all in 84 as well. I remember.
And ever since 85, we beat y'all. Every time pretty
is,
much in between. What's your point?
Dallas is Chicago South. So – that's one win for us, Paris.
Uh-huh.
We got one.
Yeah, we got one.
We got one. We got one.
We got one. Right
yeah,
we win one. Well,
you should have kept talking about soccer.
Listen, man, the last
Cowboys,
time we played
Cowboys,
in Chicago,
Cowboys
y'all got wrecked in Chicago, in Soldier Stadium.
Yeah, we were.
On Monday
we,
night.
We were
on,
down.
Man.
That won't happen again.
I don't remember that.
That won't happen again.
I like the memory. Is that what it is?
I remember the game.
It's old time.
Wild
I got old time.
Yeah, I remember going to watch a Bears Cowboys game at Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yeah,
I,
of course
I,
you will remember that.
Yeah, I remember that.
Too,
that so, yeah, we'll be okay. The Cowboys, though, if they can get to 10-6, that would be good. For some reason, I think the Giants win that division. It hurts me to say that, but
yeah, probably.
I don't know.
I
just think the Giants win that division.
I'll never tell Crown that though.
Yeah, because Philly, they're gonna be trash. I mean, I think they're gonna be like
so realistically.
Four or five wins
in. While we talking, where are y'all putting the Bears at this year?
I say 8-8. Maybe 9-7. Free Bobby Portis. But 8-8. Maybe
yeah.
9-7.
You know,
you get some breaks.
We're still behind Green Bay. And then you can predict how you think Minnesota's going to be. I definitely put us ahead of Detroit. But, you know,
injuries play a part, but if I had to pick right now, I'm with Paris. I'm somewhere between the worst case scenario, 7-9, best case scenario, 9-7. So the middle ground for me is 8-8. I just want to see, I mean, all jokes aside, you know, I just want to see the progress from where we were 2 years ago to where we elevate. You know, because last year what we saw was guys making an effort. Next year I want to see that effort turn into production. And so that I'm not going to sit here and try to sugarcoat it and make it sound like we're going to be 10-6 or 11-5. If we are, it's going to be because guys play over their head. And I'd be fine with that. But on paper, I'm looking at 8-8.
But it's coming, though. Mm. Fox knows what he's doing. The defense is definitely coming. The defense is going to
exactly.
be there. That's why I think we could really be 9-7. But, you know, the division should be pretty tough. You know, our schedule – I think our schedule is decent. You know, we play
the head-to-head games, Minnesota and Green Bay. Those games can make all the difference in the world. And whether that's 8-8, 7-9, or 9-7, or hell, even 10-6, if you get on a roll and people are playing good football, is Aaron Rodgers going to be better than he was last year? Teddy Bridgewater going to improve? It's a lot of questions in that division, man. You know, Megatron retired from Detroit.
Yeah, can Matthew Stafford actually compete a pass to anybody other than Calvin Johnson?
Well, he's gonna have.
That's why I think it's gonna be a long year. It's gonna be a long year in Detroit because that's a hell of a security blanket not to have anymore.
Yeah,
a hell of a security blanket not to have.
Well, what do y'all think of Von Miller? Is he gonna sit out a year or is he gonna be signed?
Well. First of all,
he's not going to sit out.
You can't do that, I believe, because I believe that if you sit out a year, you don't accrue another year towards free agency. So it would be like this year didn't count, and he'll be back there. I think the most he can sit out is 6 games. Don't quote me on that, but I think we had this issue with me and Corey talked about this the other day. I want to say maybe it was Vincent Jackson that set out, but then he came back. Just to play enough games to count toward his year so he could be a free agent that following year. But I still think they get a deal done. But he said something today that surprised me because he said it's not about the money. And I was thinking, well, Von, if it's not about the money, why don't you take the money that they're offering you?
Exactly.
It's one of those cases where, and I've always told – Corey, this a lot of times these professional athletes, before they talk, they really should stop and think who they're talking to, and realize that like, okay, you're talking to like, you know, your average American guy. Maybe in the locker room that plays different. When you're in the locker room with a whole bunch of other millionaires, and you say it's not about the money, and they go, yeah, bro, we with you. But when you look at me, and I know that they've offered you $60 million guaranteed. And if that's not enough, and you say it's not about the money, then what is it about there, brother?
Right.
Just keep it real. You want more money. And I'm cool with that. It's football. You're the best outside linebacker in the NFL, so, hey, do what you got to do.
There isn't anybody at their job that doesn't want more money.
Nobody. Nobody.
You show me a person who works for a living that doesn't want more money, and I'll show you a liar.
I still think they get a deal done. You know, at the 11th hour, you know, Denver give him a little bit more, and he'll realize, hey, this is good guaranteed money. They giving me $65 million guaranteed, and I think it'll work itself out. But Alshon Jeffrey's not getting paid. That's for sure.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. It'll be all right.
One last thing, Corey.
The U.S. women still not resolved their issue with U.S. soccer. And there is a chance strike before the Olympics. So that's something to keep an eye on. Because they have talked about it.
That would be a good time to do it.
All I got to say is...
That would be a great time to do it for them.
I'm a big Hope Solo fan for several reasons. So I hope they play. I like Hope Solo, so
I mean,
I hope they play.
I'll say this for what it's worth. Before we get out of here, I'll say this. The women's team is the one successful soccer team we have on the world stage. It's kind of hard to really argue with the fact that they should be getting paid more than the men.
Wait a minute. Yeah, so they get equal pay as the men, but they want more.
No.
Is that correct, Wood?
No, they don't.
They don't get paid the same as men. They get less than the men. A lot less.
A lot less.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's
the
problem getting when you're winning.
Same as the
men,
I don't think this would even be an issue.
Nope, it wouldn't be.
Wow,
if they offered them what they paid the men, I think this whole thing goes away. But they're the ones that are winning. You can't be the Sacramento Kings. And you know, And if you're the Sacramento Kings and you're bringing in more fans than the team that's winning the championship, that's a problem. And in this case, you know, when you're talking about the two, the women are winning. They're winning World Cups. You know, they're winning titles. They're more the faces of American soccer than the men. And to give them
they're going for their
the
fourth straight gold medal for their like their fourth gold medal or whatever.
It's a slap
wow,
in the face.
Yeah.
If it's a slap in the face.
But I guess it's always been that way. But so are we saying also that they sell out more games, they generate more revenue overall than the men also?
And that's what U.S. Soccer's argument is that they don't they're not selling the stadiums out. You know, that's one of U.S. Soccer's arguments. I think part of that probably goes to how U.S. Soccer then because they don't market them the same they do the men, even though they are the more successful team.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, I think the women have an argument, and I think the federation also has a point. But it's 2016, man, and they're winning. And
exactly.
The women have picked the right. They picked the right time to, you know. We'll see if they stay. If they stay the course, because if they threaten to strike, if they threaten to not play, and they play, and they don't get the money, they lose all leverage going forward. It's a wrap.
Yep.
So now that they've made this threat, they better be ready to stand by it, because there's no coming back from it. In my opinion, there's no coming back from it. All right, Wood, man, we appreciate you, brother. Thank you for calling in, man. Hope you get back with us next week. We can start getting into a little more football talk. All right.
Take it easy, Wood.
With that said, man, we are going to get out of here. What are your closing thoughts this week before we roll out, P?
My first thought is on this NBA free agency. It was fun, and that's why I think it's the best free agency period out of the major sports. You know, football is just more of a bidding war, whoever pays the most. You know, it's not really drama. But the NBA, they've captured that drama, you know, because we're always sitting around waiting on a guy's decision, and we see guys leave money on the table, you know, each year. So it's become, you know, sort of like watching almost like a reality show. So good job to that. Set us up for a good season. Love watching Summer League. We got the Olympic team should be starting up here very shortly. And as far as the other stuff, you know, all I'm going to say is, you know, keep calm out there to everybody listening. You know, don't do anything rash. You know, and maybe together we could try to, you know, figure out a way to make a difference, because things need to change. It's just a matter of all of us getting together, pulling together as one, and making a change that's going to benefit all of society in the long run. Because, you know, we work too hard. You know, we work too hard. We come too far to tear this thing down. And I'm more thinking about, you know, my kids, you know, and their future. What is their future going to be? You know, that's what my thought is.
You know, like my mom always says, your job is to always be things better than where you found it. So right now as a society, we need to be looking at improving. You know, we need to get beyond this. Our kids shouldn't have to go through this. And at the same time, it's a doggone shame that my son is 10, and when we're in the car, I've already had conversations with him of how to deal with police officers. I shouldn't have to have that talk with my 10-year-old son. I shouldn't be afraid in a state like Arizona where I could carry a weapon, where I'm afraid to carry my weapon because I wouldn't want any mistakes to happen. You know, I don't want a mistake, and I feel like there could be a mistake. You know, and I'm not paranoid. It's just how I feel. You know, and it shouldn't be like that. So I just hope that we figure this thing out, and nobody else, you know, no more unarmed black men, no more innocent police officers lose their lives.
Yes, sir. I'm not even going to have a closing thought. I'm just going to let that ride because I agree with what you said. So on that note, we will see everybody next week. We'll be back next week. Yeah, we'll be back next week.
Yeah, we'll be
back. Same
we'll
be time, back. Same phone number, man. We are looking forward to everybody calling back. Appreciate all the people that were listening. There's a bunch of people listening in. But next time, man, hit that number one button and get in on the conversation. So until next week. Darvies, I always got to do this. We see you, Darvies. Darvies calls in every week. He's a regular listener. We appreciate it. It's kind of like what's that comedian that has the talk show on? I think it's ABC, the late night show. And he always says, sorry, we can't get to Matt Damon because one time they couldn't get to Matt Damon. So now every show he says, sorry, we can't get to Matt Damon. That's kind of the way I feel about Darvies. He calls and listens in every week, and we never get to Darvies because he's at work fighting with the employee. So, sorry we couldn't get to you, Darvies. But we appreciate you calling in. Listen, we also appreciate Wood for calling in this week and dropping the soccer report on us, as usual. The cowboy talk we can do without. Take that
without
mess,
a doubt.
Back to wherever you got it from. So, so for my man, P-Dawg, Paris Daniel, myself, Corey G., we are out of here. We'll see everybody next week, same time, same phone number. So until then, peace out. Keep the peace, people.
Peace.
Yo, it's a Saturday, I'm home, 6:30 chilling, surfing the internet to see what I'm feeling, laying on Blog Talk, see what they dealing, came across the barbershop, stepped into the building, real life sports talk, real entertainment, Mike Knox really keep his ear into the pavement, finger on the pulse of the industry, save it, you don't like the way brag, you ain't gotta say shh, listen anyway, every Thursday, him and Corey G, tell them.